Our scripture reading is from Deuteronomy 13, verses 1 through 18, the whole chapter. Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 18. And this passage today is going to be applying to our New Testament passage about judging whether there are true or false prophets among you, whether the guy speaking up here is a true or false prophet, whether those you hear on sermon audio are true or false prophets, the ones you see on YouTube are true and false prophets. And we'll see what God has to say in his Old Testament, and how serious he takes about taking one of his lambs and straying them from the truth and trying to deceive them. So Deuteronomy 13, hear now the very word of God. If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder that he tells you comes to pass, and if he says, let us go after other gods which you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice. And you shall serve him, and hold fast to him. But the prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has taught rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed you out of the house of slavery, to make you leave the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall purge the evil from your midst. If your brother, the son of your mother, or the son, or your son, or your daughter, or your wife, you embrace, or your friend who is at your own soul, who as your own soul entices you secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which neither you nor your fathers have known, some of the gods of the peoples who are around you, whether near you or afar off from you, from the one end of the earth to the other, you shall not yield to him or listen to him, nor shall your eye pity him, nor shall you spare him, nor shall you conceal him, but you shall kill him. Your hand shall be first against him, to put him to death, and afterward the hand of all the people. You shall stone him to death with stones, because he sought to draw you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and all Israel shall hear and fear, and never again do any such wickedness as this among you. If you hear in one of your cities, which the Lord your God is giving you to dwell there, that certain worthless fellows have gone out among you, and have drawn away the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which you have not known, then you shall inquire and make search, and ask diligently. And behold, if it be true and certain that such an abomination has been done among you, you shall surely put the inhabitants of the city to the sword, devoting it to destruction, all who are in it and its cattle, with the edge of the sword. You shall gather all its spoil into the midst of its open square, and burn the city and all its spoil with fire, as the whole burnt offering to the Lord your God. It shall be a heap forever. It shall not be built again. None of the devoted things shall stick to your hand. And the Lord may turn from the fierceness of his anger, and show you mercy, and have compassion on you, and multiply you, as he swore to your fathers. If you obey the voice of your Lord, of the Lord your God, keeping all his commandments that I am commanding you today, and doing what is right in the sight of the Lord your God. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his word. Some pretty serious things. Some apply to us today, some don't apply to us today. Obviously, we're not the civil magistrate anymore, as Old Testament Israel was, had the right to put to death people who led people astray from the Lord. But we see how serious the Lord takes his worship. We see how serious he takes leading our loved ones, our mothers, our daughters, our sisters, away from worshiping the true and living God. Because what could be worse than leading someone to hellfire? So let's keep that in mind, because the text today, out of 1 John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, is going to be covering true and false prophets, and how we're to approach them with New Testament eyes, with a mediator, Jesus Christ, now who's come and risen. And 1 John will be covering the verse 6 verses of chapter 4, if you want to turn there in your copy of God's Word. And so we're going to be looking at three different sections in here. 1 through 2 is the necessity of spiritual discernment. The necessity of spiritual discernment. 3 through 4 will be about false doctrine and antichrists. I'm sure you've heard that word before. We'll be talking about who they are. And 5 through 6, only believers can hear the truth. So 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Hear now the very word of God. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is, and in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. So verse 1 said, beloved, do not believe every spirit. So we're not to believe everybody who speaks and talks about knowing that they saying they have a word from God, right? Has anybody ever said, you know, God just told me this and I want to tell you this? I'd be surprised if you hadn't. I've met a lot of people, generally in Pentecostal circles, that they think God speaks to them personally. But this is the necessity of spiritual discernment. Don't believe every spirit, because some are false in the world. We should examine the words of people who come to us proclaiming they have a word from the Lord. And it should match up with what? How do we discern this? How do we know if they're telling us the truth? It should line up with this. It shouldn't contradict the word of God. So how do I or anyone come before the people of God with the word of the Lord? It should be a good question. It should be on our minds. It should be good Bereans, discerning the word of God. And I and any who proclaim the word of God must teach only what the word of God teaches and nothing else. And we should not distort the message. And that is why John says, do not believe every spirit. What does John mean by the word spirit? He means either they will be speaking by the power of the Spirit of God, or they'll be speaking by the spirit of a demonic power sent from Satan. Because you can only have one master. Seed of the serpent, seed of Jesus Christ. And if we are believers in Jesus Christ, and if we have received His Holy Spirit, we will have and should practice using the Word of God that God's given us for discernment. And the Holy Spirit to tell if a minister or a prophet is telling us the truth. These are the tools in your toolbox. Make them sharp. Use them. Read your Word of God daily. And you want to do this so you'll know whether I'm telling you the truth or not, right? By matching up what I'm saying with your Bible according to John. And how do we go about this? Well, according to the book of Acts, we're to examine the Word daily. Acts 17:11. It says, "Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness." They were eager, examining the scriptures daily to see if the things were so. So we're to be excited about the word of God, eager about the word of God, and have a working knowledge of the word of God. According to Philippians 1:9, we're to, "Our love is to abound in knowledge and discernment." Should be oozing out of you. People should know that there's something different about you. When you're at your workplace, wherever you may be, they should go, "That's that guy who knows his Bible. I'm going to go to him and give answers to my questions." And according to Thessalonians chapter 5:21, we're to test everything and hold to what is good and to abstain from evil. So why should we test the spirits? So once you know something to be true and you found it in the Word of God, don't let somebody who's a false teacher deceive you and say it's not true. If they're going to give you a little added correction, they're going to give you a little added insight, and they're going to open your eyes to something in the Word of God maybe you haven't seen before, if it's true, the Spirit will confirm it. We should also do it because the Lord commands us to. Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5, we just read that text. "If a prophet or a dreamer dreams and arises and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder he tells you comes to pass, and if he says, 'Let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them,' you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you, so we'll be tested, to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him." Hold fast to him. "But that prophet or dreamer of dreams, put him to death. Put him out of your mind. Don't listen to them." God commands us not to listen to false prophets. And the remedy is that the faithful should not receive the doctrine thoughtlessly and without discernment. According to John, the church was already infested with these false prophets spreading lies 2,000 years ago. So Christ had just come, just been resurrected. You got the apostles here, and they're already false prophets going and infecting the church. And people were believing them, right? According to verse 1, "For many false prophets have gone out into the world. A multitude were already straying from the teaching the church had given through her apostles." And what was the teaching that they were straying from? Text tells us, this is really important, in verse 2, "By this you should know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God." Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. They're already straying from the Lord who came, sacrificed on the cross, risen, did miracles among them. And they're doubting it, something they saw with their own eyes. John gives us a general rule both in the affirmative and the negative, which should suffice for his audience to judge. The great controversy of the time with the Jews, whether Jesus was the Messiah, right? There's a sect of Jews that said, yeah, the Messiah is coming, but is this the Messiah? They put him to death because they said they didn't want to admit he was the Messiah. Has the Messiah come or not? And I don't know if you've ever heard of this word, Gnostics. They were in John's day and they're in our day. And their question was, did he come really truly come in the flesh? Is he true human nature or not? And I proclaim to you now that, as John did in those days, Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. The Messiah has come in the flesh and died in the flesh for your sins and the sins of all who call him Lord. So why did John say that Christ has come? He puts that word come. Why has Christ come? If I'm coming from somewhere, that means I was somewhere else before, right? Right? If I went to the store and I had come from my home, I came from my home to the store. So Christ had come from somewhere before he came to earth and was born. Christ had previously been with who? Christ had been with the Father in heaven. This proves the eternal divinity of Jesus Christ. By saying that he has come in the flesh, John means that he's putting on the flesh. Christ became a real man, real flesh and bone, with the same nature as we have, except he was sinless, so that he might become our brother, except that he was free from every sin, every corruption that we struggle with here, but punished for all of them. And he came for one reason, to be that perfect propitiation for our sins. So do you believe this? Do you believe this to be true? That Jesus has come in the flesh to satisfy the divine justice that was due to you, that you deserve for your sins? If this is your confession, and you are a believer, and the Spirit of God dwells in you, and this is the test of a disciple of Christ, this is the test of a preacher of Christ. We should also notice that the apostle did not say every sort of person ought to be believed. Even though these false teachers claimed they had the Spirit of God. We have the Spirit of God. We have his sayings. John does not challenge their claim directly. But at the same time, he reminded the people that those teachers' claims were frivolous. And their claim was invalid if they did not exhibit what they professed. We learned about this in chapter 3, verses 11 through 24. If we are to know someone not only by what they tell us, but their works, we're to judge them by how they live out their faith, how they speak to others, how their witness is for Christ, if that's even something that's concerning their minds. And those that would deny Christ are, as our text points out, antichrist, meaning they are against Christ. They're not for him. They don't believe in him. And their father is the devil. Verse 3 and 4 talk about false doctrines of antichrist. But verse 3 says, "And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already." So who are these antichrists? Who are they? Well, it wasn't one person. Sorry, the end times books didn't get it right. John knew nothing of these silly Left Behind books that were once popular in America. And they're probably in half-price books now. John is speaking about the Jews and the Gnostics of his day. Jesus said that the Jews were among these antichrists because they were against him. In John 8:24, which says, "I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." So what does he mean? What does this mean for us today? Who are the modern day antichrists? Do they have a special coat? Do they say special things? I mentioned the Gnostics, right? Whose belief system centered around what? Secret knowledge. I have this secret word from God that God's only said to me, and now I'm going to tell you. Because I have a word from God, right? That's these antichrists. They don't believe the word of God's authoritative. They don't believe the word of God is our fact checker. Mormons, there's another one, right? The Mormons accept a modified form of the doctrine of the Trinity, in which Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are believed to be three separate gods, united in a common Godhead for the purpose and their perfection. Jehovah's Witnesses, I know they've been to your door probably, right? They've been to my door. This popular name was given in 1931 to the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, which traces its origins all the way back to 1870. Adventist Doctrines of American Lay Preacher C.T. Russell. His main claim was that Jesus Christ, listen here, a perfect man, but not God. He didn't believe Jesus Christ was God. So every Jehovah's Witness that comes to your door, sorry, you serve a false God, you are an antichrist. I'd like to tell you about the true gospel. And Christ is God. Witnesses don't believe Christ was God, and they are antichrist as well. And the list could go on, couldn't it? We have so many in our American society with our freedom of religion, and we can believe whatever we want. Why do I mention these three groups? What do they all have in common? They're all followers that teach distortions of the truth of the Word of God. So the deceiver is not unwise. He takes a little bit of truth and then he turns it a little. There are modern day antichrists. They are lost and they spread lies to anyone who will listen to them. And being lost and being in your sins and not understanding the Word of God and the Spirit hasn't rejuvenated you, you'll fall for anything, won't you? I remember when I was an unbeliever, I fell for anything. I almost fell all so far that I followed the Muslim faith because I was lost. I had no discernment. I didn't know the true gospel. I'm sure you're going to encounter these folks at your home or workplace, and that's why I'm preaching this to you. That's why I'm warning you. That's why John warned you. Another gospel means against Christ, and their father is the devil. 1 Timothy 4, 1-3 speaks about those that would distort the truth as well. It says, now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits, teachings of demons, through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid, listen to this one, marriage and require abstinence from food that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Who forbids marriage in their church? The Pope and the priests and the nuns, right? They're deceived, the priests. The nuns, they're deceived. The Catholic Church is deceived. That's right, the Pope is an antichrist. He set himself up in the place of Christ. So to help combat that and be able to spot these antichrists and deceivers, you should memorize what? You should memorize your scripture. Should know, we heard this morning in the Horizons about some person who memorized their catechism. You should memorize your catechism, which is based and rooted in Scripture. If you know the truth, you can spot a lie, right? It should perk up. Your ears should perk up. That just doesn't quite sound right. And you should be able to go, and this is why. Most of us have the, that doesn't quite sound right, let me go find it and I'll search it on my phone, but we should maybe know where to go in the Bible. Let me encourage you to do that. So let us be students of the truth. What do questions 21 and 22 say in our Westminster Shorter Catechism? Who's the Redeemer of God's elect? The only Redeemer of God's elect is the Lord Jesus Christ, who being the eternal Son of God became man and so is and continues to be both God and man. Two distinct natures, one person forever. It's powerful. There's proof scriptures in there too. How did Christ, being the Son of God, become man? Christ, the Son of God, became man by taking to himself what? A true body. And that's what John's talking about today. A true body. A reasonable soul being conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin Mary and born of her, yet without sin. He was sinless. All three of these cults, Mormons, Gnostics, Jehovah's Witness, fourth one, the Catholic Church, these statements of faith are found in our Bible and they refute all of them. And so they have the spirit of Antichrist that John is speaking of. They are the seed of the serpent. But what spirit is it that believers have? What spirit can overcome the works of the devil? The Holy Spirit. John speaks about the Holy Spirit and its effects on you in verse 4. It says, "Little children, you are from God and overcome them. For he who is in you is what? Is greater than he who is in the world." He's greater. He woke you up. You were dead in your trespasses and sin. He woke you up. He called you to himself. He's greater. You being born of God, and you your participation in the Word of God and strengthening influence of Jesus Christ keeps you from being overcome by the alluring, persuasive speech of the flesh. The lies of cults. The threats of persecution. Or if you don't believe them, they'll say you're not a true follower of God, right? That's one of their lies. Used by these anti-Christian, pseudo-Christian cults of John's day and our day. You're enabled by the Spirit to overcome these temptations. Because the divine Spirit in them and in you is stronger than these lying anti-Christian spirits in these unbelievers. John says, "You are from God and you have what? Overcome them." The them he means, even during this day, there were many groups of people and false prophets. They were just trying to subvert the truth. But even though we are told that they are many, what does God promise us? That we will overcome them. We are overcomers. We are overcomers through Jesus Christ, through His Holy Spirit, through His Word, which enlightens our minds. And we will not be deceived by these men who would call us devils. Rather, we will overcome them, the flesh, and the devil. Has anybody ever come to you and called you a devil? Probably. Because he who is in greater than you is greater than Satan and his followers in this world. Verses 5 through 6 says, only believers can hear the truth. Only believers can hear the truth. They are from the world, it says in verse 5. Therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. You may ask yourself, why do so many people believe and follow these cults? Well, we know the answer. Because so many people are of the world. The text tells us. So cults, televangelists, name it and claim it, word of faith groups, they all have one thing in common, right? They're in love with the world and the things of the world. And they'll use the things of the world to try and deceive you. And if you're of the seed of Satan, the world's speech sounds sweet to you. It sounds great to you. We see how prone people are to vanity and falsehood in our society. Hence, false doctrines easily penetrate and spread far and wide. In our society today, what's one of the big lies perpetuated in the media? Well, there's a lot of them, so. God is love, and everyone can believe what God is, whatever they want him to be. Have you ever heard somebody spout that lie to you? This is another lie because people are of the world and they listen to lies of the world. You see how the world will twist the truth? See how they twist it? Because God is love, right? We're told in 1 John here. God is love. It's the greatest love there is. But God, in his very existence as God, cannot be what a human being deems him to be. If that were true, he's no longer God, right? And we have deemed ourselves as what? Gods. We've done what the Mormons have done. We want to have godhood one day. But you know that you're not gods because what's the Bible say about us? What does the Bible say about who God is? God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. In what? His being and his wisdom, his power, his holiness, his justice, his goodness, and his truth. And we can refute these cults by, are there more gods than one? Right? There's but one only, the living and true God. Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is what? One Lord. We're sinful human beings, and we hold none of these attributes. So God is not what we choose Him to be. And so according to John, every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. So it's not some special person. It's not just the Pope in Rome. It's just not these cults here. It's anybody who says Christ is not who he says he is in this word. And they're of the world, and they're headed to hell, and they believe the modern lie that God is whoever they want him to be. God's a perfect gentleman, right? He'd never send people to hell. They haven't read the Old Testament, have they? And not all the tears or the words said when an unbeliever dies will change who those of the world are and serve and where they'll end up when they die. And if you're of the world, you think I'm a liar because your father is Satan. And if you're a believer, then what I'm telling you about Christ rings in your ears, lines up with your Bible, and sounds true. And only those confessing Him as Lord and Savior are Christians. And only those confessing Him to be their Lord will be saved from the wrath of God when Jesus comes back to judge this world. Verse 6 points us to if we are from God. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. There are useful warnings added in verse 6 here. Because it's not by obedience of faith we are to prove ourselves to be of God. Those who listen to God are to obey God, aren't they? We do it imperfectly, don't we? Because if you listen and you don't obey, you weren't really listening, right? If we had this truth in our mind and then somebody snatches it out and we decide to go on another path, we never really believed it. It's easy to boast that we're from God, isn't it? I'm from God. I have a word of knowledge. And so nothing is more common among people today than say, you know, I have a word, and just sort the gospel of Jesus Christ. People will proudly boast that they worship God, and yet no less proudly reject God's word, because they worship Him however they see fit, don't they? They don't even give a second thought. And this goes to the people who are preaching lies to them as well. They'll pretend to believe God's word, and yet when they are brought to the test, they close their ears. Have you ever gone to a brother and said, "Brother, I think you've strayed a little bit. The Word of God says this." And then they close their ears and they won't hear you. The preacher touches on something in God's Word that would require them to change how they are currently living. So the only true evidence of whether you are of the Spirit of truth or the spirit of error is whether you put these things to the test and you turn your back to sin and you turn to the Word of God. If you revere God's Word, then it's the evidence that you fear and love Him and want to obey Jesus Christ for such a gracious love that He's given us. He's been so gracious to us. He called us out of our sin and misery. He called us to Himself. Everyone who really fears and obeys God must know Him by His Word. Because, beloved, we cannot know God in any other way but by His Word and Spirit. And the two will never, here's a key thing, the two will never contradict each other. The Word and Spirit and that confirmation and what somebody says God says will never contradict this Word. We should also notice that the listening mentioned by the apostle is to be understood in inward and real listening of the heart, which is done by faith. Unbelievers will not listen to the Word of God and say that it's something. They'll hiss at the truth, won't they? They'll hiss at the truth because it's something God has to work in your heart to understand. He has to wake you up. They'll smile and say, "That was a nice story, wasn't it? God created the world in 6 days. Man, that's an awesome story." No, it's the truth. It's the truth. And they'll deny it because they love lies, the lies of this world. They'd rather believe that we came from a pile of goo, right? Over millions of years and evolved. And they hate the truth. So if you're a believer today, I hope you will remember how to tell the difference between a true and false gospel and to know whether a prophet is telling you the truth or not. And that you'll now understand the necessity for spiritual discernment. And you'll beware of false doctrines and antichrists. And understand that only a believer can hear the truth, which is contained in the Word of God. So when false spirits claim to speak in God's name, we must inquire from the Scriptures whether this is so. We should provide a devout attention to the Word of God, which should be accompanied with humility and meekness. A spirit of understanding will be given to us if we are God's elect. And as a faithful interpreter, God's Holy Spirit will reveal to us the meaning of what is said in the Scriptures. So we can know the difference between true and false prophets, true and false gospels, and if God be for us, who can be against us? No one. And it's in Christ's name that we pray today. Amen.